All the acreage they had here, they bought up over time. Every camp had to have firewood, fireplace wood, had to have wood for the wood stoves and the cook stove. You didn't, you know, mm-hmm. Some of them could have a little kerosene stove to stick the place up, but no electric, no gas, so they had to be. And I just sold the old wood machine motor the other day that Alvarado bought in 1914 for an old hit and miss engine that's been here for, and I hate to see it go, but I got a good price onto it, and I'm not going to be here forever, so what am I going to do, give it away?
So what did that engine do?
It turned the buzzsaw to saw wood.
Oh.
Because in them days, I hope some of the people that don't know what's going on listen to this stuff. Because nowadays, you got a chainsaw.
Right.
So you saw wood up, and even in the woods or anywhere else, you saw it up in 1 foot lengths in the woods or mm-hmm. 2 foot lengths. Now nobody saws up anymore, saws up logs 4 foot lengths. Now what they used to do in them days, they go in the woods and saw the wood, saw the trees down. Everything was sawed in 4 foot length with a crosscut saw.
Uh-huh.
And then in the dead of the winter, when it's 20 below zero or something, all you had to do was hit one end of that with a splitting axe. And because it was so frozen, you could split froze wood easy. You could split a log 6 foot long if you wanted to, and 2 foot around. You split it with a splitting axe. But they split it down to 4 foot lengths of what they could handle.
Uh-huh. I didn't know that.
Well, see.
I didn't know about frozen wood
either. Oh yeah, frozen wood splits good. So then they would bring it out, and right down there by that red garage,
yeah,
they'd pile that 4 foot cords of 4 foot length wood uh-huh. down there. Because they could get it down there. And then in the summertime, they'd get that old hit and miss engine going. And if somebody wanted, and the stuff is split so one man can handle a 4 foot piece, 6 inches around.
Right.
Somebody wants a cord of a 2 foot wood, cut and hang. They want 16 inch wood for the stove, you get 3 cuts out of that 4 foot piece. And now you wonder when you go and people are selling 30 inch wood. 26 inch. Yeah, it's nice for a stove, but they didn't do it that way in them days because it had to come in multiples of four.
Ah.
What they split up for the a hot fire in a little kitchen range.
Mm-hmm.
That's all cut at 1 foot. So somebody wanted 1 foot, you cut that up, that thing up in 4 pieces. Now you take the chainsaw and you cut it what up you want as you go along, but not in them days.
I don't understand why they call it hit and miss, though, the engine.
The only time it fires is when the flywheel slows down so they don't need any power.
That's the miss?
That's the miss. You know, it'd go bang! As it slows down, they are unique, and they have them in fairs and everything else. But I hated to see that thing go, but it was going to happen to it.
So, what kind of a fellow bought it?
A collector over in the
Oh, Wall good. Park. He'll take good care of it.
Well, he said he would.
Yeah.
I had the bill of sale and the all the books that came with it.
Oh my goodness!
It was a witty. WITTE, 3.5 horsepower.
Well, he'll take good care of it.
I got his address.
Who was it? I forgot.
His name is Human?
Yeah.
Human, yeah. He's some relation somehow to the Fieldings or no, maybe just a friend of his got him over there and quit him with the Bill Fielding in that game. But,
Gretchen?
Oh
no, she was from Fonda.
I know, he was happy to get it, and I was kind of happy to get rid of it, to tell you the truth. It took a lot of work. I'm going to buy some ham radios for the $500. So that was about the story of, the, you know, the, of Canada Lake. If I had that book up here, and I got a map down there of every surveyed lot on the south shore of But Tom Vogley was, we was great, the Arns family got to be great friends with the McCackney because they built the camp. I worked some, shoveled the roof, but after Alvarado got too old and got acquainted with Lowe Vogley down over the years.
You know, after, it wasn't long after we were married that Robe, he didn't know Robe then. He came over to, when we lived on the Moy Road, he came over and introduced himself and we got to be friends.
Oh, that's nice.
And that was through his grandfather and his uncle. And
oh, I see.
They were friends with his in-laws and then with
My grandfather Max died. My grandmother died while I was in the service, 45. But I was home in 46 with my grandfather Max on. So, Uncle called me up and said, Grandpa died, you got to come up, you got to help carry me down the driveway. He plowed the roads out, or plowed the driveway, it was just a path down there, the cars couldn't get up there, it's a long ways down there to the road. Okay, this is a traumatic experience for me.
Well, yeah.
So they always remember this, and it's not humorous, but it's put them in a basket, like a wicker basket.
Yeah, I remember those.
And the Undertaker and I and another guy, we stumbled down through the path. It was just about shoveled wide enough for one person to walk. And well, that was the Grandpa Ernst.
Went out in a basket.
So I came back in the house, and now Uncle's naturally he's all alone now because he did stay here after my grandmother died. Now here, you call up McCagney, tell him that his dad passed away. Don't monkey's route. We didn't notify nobody else right at that minute. You got to notify McCagney, or McCady, as they say, how I get. I thought, who the heck is this guy that I don't know anything about, and he's number one on the list. and you got to... Telegram, I think we did, down in Mount Vernon. So now I kind of take a little interest in what's going on. Well, that was their connection, and they was so good to Uncle Man. Oh man, you know what they did for him over the years. I mean, they thought he was. They wouldn't have started with that. They give a lot of money. They didn't do anything. That's the kind of people they was. But they was affluent. It was very, very nice to him. But anyway, that's part of that.
Well, Tom Vogley, when he was here, he says, this is Alvarado's Road.
Oh.
Because he said when he was a kid coming up here, when they got there, they always say, this is Alvarado's Road. Because he lived on this road, I guess.
For the benefit of youngsters who don't know anything about ice houses and so forth, can you give a little description of what all that was about, cutting ice and how it got stored and in the summer and all that?
Yeah, I mean, everybody on the Canada Lake, they had their own ice. If they're going to stay there, most of them had their own ice house.
And what would that look like?
It just would be an old some of them just maybe log cabin or slabs of siding off of from the sawmill.
Uh-huh.
And they usually build it out, especially the Fulton Road. That's all, the only thing that I know about. And that's what the main part of this thing is, the South Shore of the Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like they had a monopoly on it. And the Chappelles over there.
Right.
They took care of people on the other side of the lake.
Yeah.
And people from Dallasville and like that, but El Reno and Max, they kind of had this. But they built this little building up there, maybe 12 foot square, maybe bigger, all depending on how much they needed. And they would build it into the bank if they could, because it had to be, you know, well insulated.
Right.
And go up to the mill and get the sawmill and get a foot of sawdust, put it on the ground for a base, or when they start to put ice in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the winter time, when it got time to cut the ice, when it got 18, 20 inches thick, they would go up there with their team or their horse and scrape. I had a big scraper there and scrape the ice off.
The snow off the ice on the lake.
And get a spot there, and then I got some people think it's a cutter. It don't cut the ice all the way through, it just marks it. Up in the barn there, and there's, you don't see them too much anymore. That's a valuable piece of iniquity, if that's the right way to say it.
Antiquity?
Antiquity.
Iniquity is what we are.
Oh. Yeah.
Again.
Right.
Well, it's an apparatus like a, it's got plow handles on it, and it's an apparatus about 6 feet long, and it's got a lot of sharp little blades into it. They stick down about a quarter of an inch wide, and they're wedged in there, and the front one sticks down a quarter of an inch, and the next one sticks down a half an inch, and the next one sticks down three quarters, and the horse drags that along, and they square up the blocks, 2 foot, 18 inches. Because you had to work over top of that. You didn't cut it all the way through, so the horse fall
in the water. Goodbye horse.
And everybody else. And they always had jumpers, which I had a lot of them here. Barbara had one, we sent it down to the museum in Albany to the...
Oh, the State Museum?
State Museum. Never got it back.
Son of a gun.
So...
Can't trust those government folks.
Right.
But they made them. They called them... Some people call them punts, P-U-N-T-S, but this was, I don't know what Uncle Alvarado called it, a jumper. But you go down on the lake with that, because they have big wide log runners onto it.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd find a tree with a knot into it, so it made a...
Did it jump?
No, it didn't jump, but it made
that's what I mean, though.
Made the front part of the...
Like the front of a sleigh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them runners out here that they cut out. They found a tree that, as they went through the woods, it went up straight for a ways, and then made it, for some reason, the nature had a bend into it.
Uh-huh.
Cut that down, save it, take it to the mill, and make these runners out of it.
Uh-huh.
Now, there's a lot of them out in the barn here yet.
Oh, good
them,
grief.
Them things. Well, anyway, they mark the ice off with this marker, and like I say, cut it down maybe about a foot, 6-8 inches, whatever the ice would stand, and still hold the horse up in the jumper, because the jumper would go over the snow, even though, no matter how much snow, the horse could drag it through the snow, and that's where trucks could horse could go where trucks could, or if they had oxen, I don't think. They never had any oxen here, but some people did.
Mm-hmm.
So then after you got this all marked, you had an ice saw, like a hand saw. A handle on the top of it, like a T-handle. And you went along and you sawed the rest of it. Now the teeth on an ice saw, you can tell the teeth on an ice saw, because they only go one, they only cut one way, and that's down.
Oh.
So you stand there, on top of the ice, where that slot, that 6-8 inch slot is, and you push down, you go back like a big handsaw.
Uh-huh.
Didn't cut on the way up, because it'll pull all the water.
Pull all the water.
So
then
you put them on a sleigh, took them up in there, laid them out on this sawdust. Individual blocks, or maybe 4 foot long or something. and then put sawdust on top, mm-hmm. and the sides of it, and over the top 6-8 inches, then you put another layer. Mm-hmm. You filled it right up to the top. Mm-hmm. And that would stay, if they didn't waste it, or did, they wouldn't last them all summer.
And then in the camp, in the kitchen, they'd have an ice box.
With that so little thing mm-hmm. under there to catch the water.
That's right.
It's always overflowing. Somebody would run all of a sudden and empty it.
Most people wouldn't shut it, catch it in time. And go. And some of them, they get so they just bore a hole in the floor and put a pipe in there, let it go down on the camp.
They did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, funny. Now, when I was a kid, by that time, I lived in a city in Los Angeles, and almost everybody had a refrigerator, except our neighbors across the street still had an ice box. And I remember the ice man delivering ice to them once a week or so, and it running over on the floor, yeah. and the mom being in there mopping up on a regular basis.
We had one, I remember, and I always forget to enter it.
We got, younger boys had a commercial ice house.
Uh-huh.
Right down there.
My
right.
grandfather had a farm, and he sold their milk too, and he had a big ice house, and that was, when I was a kid, we used to like to go in there and play, because it was in the
cool.
summer, it was nice and cool, you know, to go in there barefooted, or even with our shoes on, because it was all covered in sawdust, uh-huh. but it was still cool.
I wonder if there are any ice houses left on the South Shore anywhere.
I don't think so.
I've never seen anything that I thought looked like an ice house.
Maybe.
I didn't know they had the individual ones.
I didn't know that either.
No, you'll find it in that other big book we got here somewhere. You'll find Philly Ice House, 25. Mm. Different places.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm.
Well, actually, in your generation also, you and your brother also provided some services along the South Shore. Talk about Chink and what he did.
Well, Chink was my oldest brother. He's gone now. But he never, when my older sister was old enough to go to high school, we left Kroger Lake from where we lived at the museum, which wasn't a museum then. I say that he made a museum out of it because I was born there, but that's not right. But we moved to the city to so my sister could go to high school.
Mm.
And I was 4 years old, and so we stayed down there. Well, Chink never stayed there. He didn't like Gloversville Atoll. So even as a young boy, he came back and stayed down at Roman's Hotel.
Oh.
And, it was like a handyman around there. And then he got into the trucking business and the garbage and sand. Half of the roads on the Fulton Road was put in there by Chink and the Midnight Construction
Company. That's right. That's right. And I've had gravel delivered for my driveway a time or two by right. you, right?
Well, kind of fell heir to that. But as all us kids, as we got out of school and got married, we moved back to Kroger Lake. Hmm. My mother and father kept the house, kept the place down there, the museum, and Chink lived there.
Uh-huh.
And so we always came back in the summertime. And by that time, it was getting into 33, 34, 35. The depression of 29 to 33 didn't affect Fulton County too much for some reason.
Hmm.
And so my father always had a job in Gloversville. And another reason we went to Gloversville is when at the same time my sister Edna was ready to go to school. The high school. The Pine Brook Golf Course was being considered or being built.
Mm-hmm.
So they hired my father to go down there and clear the land.
Because
he was pretty good with the dynamite and horses and one thing and another.
Mm-hmm.
And to blow all them stumps out. And in them days, they didn't have big heavy equipment. They had to blow those stumps out by hand. And with an old Ford and tractor. and Chink worked down there when he was only 12, 14 years old. That's where he got the name Chink from, somebody down there, because he was like a water boy or something like that. But after, as we got married, we all came back to Grove Lake.
Yeah, Catherine.
Yeah, Catherine never came back. Brother Francis, he came back.
Mm-hmm.
I never left.
Not really.
So it's a long story. We're sitting right here where Uni came in 1864.
Yeah.
I got to put a sign on the barn since 1864.
Oh, absolutely.
And I got all the deeds and everything here to prove it.
Indeed you do. So anything you'd like to add?
Nothing I can think of. I'll say hello to Dylan.
Oh, thank you very, very much. This is really precious.
Yep.
Uh-huh.